nations, your name stands above them all.
Father, we worship you, Lord. Can we please kneel before the Lord in worship this morning? Say, Father, we kneel before you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You have my love. When you say, Lord, you have my love, you have my heart. I worship you. I worship you today. Be exalted, O God, be magnified. Oh, Shadabokosele Mehedekesilabaha. I love you, Father, and I worship you. I'm here for you. I kneel before you today. It's the greatest privilege of my life to kneel before you in honor and in submission. I submit myself to you. I kneel before you in honor. I kneel before you in submission to you. I am yours as you are mine, and I love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's beautiful to say I'm yours and you as you are mine. I love you, God. I love you, my Father. Thank you, Father. So we confess before the Lord this morning and say, Father, I kneel to worship you. I kneel in honor of your word. I receive and submit myself to the light of your word. By your word, into the same image. Now I bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I yield myself to your word, paying complete attention. Changes my life. Healing my body, restoring my soul. Multiplied in my life. My life is a testament to your glory. I rejoice, yes. Great treasures. Amen. Come on, welcome somebody to church. It's good for us to be here. Come on. It's good for us to be here. I'm excited. It's good for us to be here. Oh, glory, glory, glory. It's good for us to be here. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, your name be praised. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, God's people said amen.
Amen.
Really, it's good for us to be here. I'm happy to see you today. If your neighbor didn't welcome you well and still say it's good for you to be here, I don't know. Go to the person and say it's good for us to be here. If they said it well, no problem. Then you know they want you to be here. But you know, I want you to be here. It's good you are here today. Hallelujah. So, we began to talk about when the devil comes for a passionate believer, when the devil comes for a faithful believer. It's funny, you're on your journey and you erroneously think that because you're on your journey and you are now in service and doing something and loving the Lord more, he will leave you alone. And then you will have your peace and then you just continue to go like that. No, the Bible says he's the accuser. Come on, we looked at some stuff last week. I just want to go through this stuff again to just get all of us together on the same page. The Bible says he's the accuser. He will continue to accuse you. He will continue to accuse you. The accuser of the brethren have been cast from heaven and now he's before you. I remember we said something last week. The accuser is before your right hand. But who is at the right hand of the Father is more important than who is at your right hand. Right? Come on, remember that. Remember that. So let's give it up. At our right hand is our accuser. But at God's right hand is our advocate. And who is at God's right hand is more important than who is on my right hand. Oh, come on. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. He's here. We need to know. You just need to know he will continue to come after you one way or the other. You know, he couldn't stop you from coming to the Lord. He couldn't stop you from coming to God. He couldn't stop you from coming to the Father. Now he wants to hinder your relationship with the Father. He will continue to come after you. You need to know that. You need to understand that he will continue to come after you. You'll never be okay and go your way. No, he will continue to come. Are you here? Yes, when we know this, I mean, it's very powerful. It changed your life. And somebody said, I know he's going to come after, I know he will continue to come after me, you know, when I do some stuff, I'm at fault here and there. Yeah, but he will come after you even when you are doing your very best, even when you are pushing yourself, even when you start up new stuff, or you're not reading more Bible, you're not praying more. I mean, you can pray 1 hour and he says you would have just prayed 2 hours. Come on, you can't pray 2 hours. Look at that other guy there, he prays 3. And you say, I've never prayed 1 hour in my life. And now you successfully pray 1 hour. The guy comes to spoil everything. Imagine somebody who came to spoil everything in the Garden of Eden. He damaged everything from a perfect place. He's the devil. Satan. Perfect place. Everything is perfect. Everything is working. He came there to still try and spoil it. He began to question God, brought about doubts. You know, the relationship just scattered from Satan. How the devil is a liar? Bad person, very bad. Normal fellowship with God. Beautiful, no sin, no. He came to put sin where there was no sin. How much more in your life where there is some level of small imperfections? Sin. Come on, are you here? He will find something. He will magnify it. Then we talk about Jesus. I mean, he came to, if you consider, I'm giving you considerations. Stop by thinking about this message. If he came to spoil something where everything was perfect, like in the Garden of Eden, you say that one is one matter. He came to spoil something with a perfect man. He came to meet a perfect man. The father just said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That gives you the mark of approval. If there's anything like a purple tick. He had a purple tick. You know, blue tick is for blue. They say they have verified you. Purple is royalty. Her father royalty purple ticked him. And then Satan still came to ask to try to spoil a perfect person. If Satan will come to a perfect Jesus, why do you think he will not come to you? Because you are growing and maturing in Christ Jesus. So, you should know. We should know from this teaching that he will never leave you alone. He will always come to you. He will try to come between your relationship with God. He will try to hinder that relationship. In the very first part, in the very first place, he could not stop the relationship from happening. And now he wants to spoil the relationship. Come on. It's just like a guy and a lady, and then they started to talk and begin to like each other. And then there's one other, I don't know, should I use the guy or the lady? Who the lady, Abby? They are the ones. They've done you before, Abby. Lady. So he's trying to, for relationship not to start. And then the guy is saying, I like this. They say, you don't know much about her. Somehow, they begin to talk to her. And this guy says, see, I like this lady, this girl, I want to marry her. Then, bam, engagement. Bam. You think she will not say, my mission has failed. No, mission has not failed. You will continue. You will not even marry her. The mission will not move to gear 2. They now start bringing information. You see, I just saw, where's your wife now? He said, she went to the market. Why did I just saw her at, they won't stop. That's devil. Come on. I remember when that lady was doing the same thing, you were saying, see, Satan. That's exactly spiritually, that's what's still happening. She's Satan. So that's the work of Satan. Try to spoil everything. Are you here? You keep doing it. It won't stop. I mean, when you know that fact already, I think you should put your relationship with God at a certain place. This thought alone should get you up and running. It should just get you, if you were somehow depressed, somehow thinking, questioning, asking questions, and you are looking at your faults, and you should know now who is doing it. It is not God. It is the Satan. And he wants to hinder your relationship with God. He will come, he's trying to spoil everything, trying to spoil and, damage a good relationship. And he even came to try a perfect man. A perfect man. I mean, if you cannot say that. But if you think about it, why would you even come to attempt a perfect man? If he comes to tempt us, we understand why. Because there are many thoughts in our hearts, imperfect thoughts. But this guy, for 30 years,
He has pleased the Father. You would think he will leave him alone. He won't leave him alone. He didn't leave him alone. So he won't leave you alone. He will come for you. And he will keep coming. So you have to know this fact. Amen? Amen. I want to bulletproof you. I want to Satan-proof you, Abby. From all those nonsense. You say, you're not doing enough. Leaders, pastors, you're not pastoring enough. You're not doing that. Leaders, you're not doing... You can never... You're not just be enough. But I'm gonna, we started last week to talk about the things that would help us overcome Satan, right? Right? We started last week. I just gave you a recap of the thoughts, and then I began to show you last week about the fact that with Dr. Zechariah, I don't want to turn all those scriptures. I'm fond of recapping and recapping over recapping. But you have the message. You can get them there for free. If you're not here, just go and get it. Please get it. It will help you put these things in context so that you can get the whole thing together. And because we talked about Zechariah, Revelation 20, we talked about Satan cast down, Zechariah, the Satan standing before his right hand, and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about how you emphasize weakness, scrutiny, manipulate a message. You're even going to hear a powerful message. You're hearing something very good and something very powerful. And then I was talking to the pastor this morning. I was like, imagine Satan, we'll preach a good message. And Satan will take our message to make our people look bad. So you know what pastor preached this Sunday? You see? You are preaching the message in hope to lift the people and say, this is, you have to do this. Get into the place of prayer. It means your life will change as you begin to pray. So you know why your life is bad? No, you don't pray. Devil. And then you see, when we step up in leadership, we're talking about leadership. You know, you need to serve, you have to be at a certain level, you have to keep pushing yourself. Say, good afternoon, sir. Pastor, I want to see you. Say, hey, yes, see me. Sit down. And say, Pastor, I want to step down from leadership. What? Why? As you were preaching, I just felt that I was not. Eh? No, I'm trying to tell you to move you. And the pastor's like, no, you miss it. That is short. When you hear that, you're not the devil is at work there. Somebody else is encouraged and saying, I'm going to up my game, I'm going to keep pushing forward. Somebody else, the devil begins to speak to his heart, deep guilt and convictions. Then he begins to manipulate those words. And finally, somebody that is supposed to encourage somebody to go forward begins to pull the person down. So how people step down, moving backwards, because you preached a very good message. He takes the word of God and turns it upside down. Uses it against you. And then you feel, oh, he doesn't love me. Or something and something like that. So when we began last week actually to look at the things that you need to understand, consider. And we looked at Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1. I don't want to do a deep recap. But we talked about all those things last week. Romans chapter 8 verse number 31. Quickly move there. So we'll move on, touch some things this week. And then we'll go forward. Alright. The Bible says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Next verse. Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who shall lay what things? That's the beauty of the scriptures. You don't need to. I don't know when people try to make people push people. I don't know why. If you're reading the Bible, you don't even need to make anyone do anything. Who shall lay what? Come on,
anything
to the child of God's elect. Means nothing can be laid against you. Nothing can be laid against you anymore. So you can't lay. Who shall lay anything? It means if it comes to shortcoming, it cannot be against you. If it comes to sin, it cannot be against you. He said that there's nothing. And you know, when you read the scripture, people try to maybe say you are afraid. Say, no, I'm not trying to say something and answer what somebody wants to say online or something like that. Read the Bible. He said, you can lay anything to the child of God's elect. You can't bring anything against that person. The devil can he should not be able to bring anything against you. Anything. So whatever it brings to your mind. Just get out, get lost. It is God that what justifies. You can't stand before him and be telling him something about me. He said that you cannot bring anything against me. And you see, I told you last week that he's trying to separate your relationship with God, trying to separate this relationship, and he can't do it from his side. That is why when Paul is speaking to us, he's telling us that side. And so that we now know that if, so when it gets to our side, we should be able to put full stop to it. If that guy says he's clean, then I'm clean. It is God that justifies. Right? It brings me to my a point I want to make for you today. A point I think we should just start off from here, but we'll get there subsequently in Ephesians. But he says, when he says it's God that justifies, let us stop and consider God that justifies. When we consider God, what are we thinking? When he says it is God that justifies, what are we thinking? We are thinking about, let's look at this. Imagine someone perfect as God. Is he perfect? Come on. He's a perfect God. So perfect. He says perfect, and that's the reason why I don't want to be near him. Come on. Are you here? God is perfect. That's the idea. And this is perfection now becomes the problem. He is perfect. But let's go forward. This perfect person, this perfect God, he knows everything. He sees everything. The devil is a liar. Look at it. He's a perfect God. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knew you before he came to you. It was not a mistake. Now, he does not make mistake, Abby. If you're following this, just follow the thoughts. So, if this perfect God now chose me, is that decision also a perfect decision?
Yes,
come on. Thank you. It's good to have a wife. I can tell you it's good to have the wife. They don't get that. If a perfect God chose me to be his own, and we say that everything he has been doing is perfect, we say he's perfect and true, it means that even if in this he's choosing me, he's also perfect. So you can comfortably say, I'm not his first mistake. I cannot be his first mistake. Satan keeps telling you it's a mistake. But you remind him that you are saying, you, his argument against you is that you are near a perfect God. And you remind him that it is the perfect God that chose you. So therefore, this relationship is what? Perfect. Can't spoil it. Can't spoil it. If he chose me, then he has enabled me to do this ministry, to do what I'm doing. He's enabled me. He doesn't look at me like that. That's why, you see, that's why it says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's not possible. Because to lay anything against me, when you say it is God that justifies, is to lay it against God. It means he has made a mistake. Okay. Do you understand? It's not possible. It can't work. It won't work. Anything won't work. Because it is a perfect system. He is so perfect, so pure, so holy. He cannot make a mistake. We know that part. We accepted that part. And now you are using the person who made a choice for me against me. It's not going to be possible because his very choice of choosing me in logic, means that this one too is a perfect decision. He cannot make a mistake. It is God that justifies. So what do you bring against the person who he chose in his perfection and his wisdom? So you can't get sense past God now. Suddenly, when I reach my matter, you just can't get sense past God. So you reach my matter. You just know that, no, you see, you are bad. He says, I am accepted. We'll get there. We'll go to Ephesians. But let's stay here. Let's finish up with this. This is what I started for. Next verse. I'm not going to make points like this. These points, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit and you here, you should open up your heart just like a confession and receive these words by the power of the Holy Spirit and you transform your walk. You see, those hindrances and those things work. Because in every relationship, hear me well, there's the tendency for insecurities. You know, let's use girl again. You said girl, so it's not my fault. It's you that said girl. So a lady who is dating a rich guy, a lady who is dating a rich guy, the tendency for insecurity is there. The insecurity here is a matter of money. You know, I don't have money. Sometimes you begin to feel I don't belong. Come on.
Yes,
I said, in every relationship, there's that tendency for insecurities to be there. So a guy likes a lady and she's not so wealthy. What happens is that she begins to feel insecure. And the relationship does not get bad by itself. Nothing is wrong in the relationship. But from the insecurity, she begins to pull away. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I should be with this person. So the relationship is suffering. Not from the person, the rich guy, the nice guy, doing anything wrong. But because of insecurities. And again, sometimes the attack might not be coming. Look at what the example we gave just now. The attack coming from trying to point to the guy and say, look at what this person. What about the attack coming to the lady? Are you sure he really loves you? Why did he even choose himself? You are an easy fool. He can fool you easily. That is why he chose you. And then she begins to think about those negative things. Guess what happens? Somebody you are supposed to call to meet on Friday, you don't call. The person is calling you. Maggie, we're supposed to talk today. Now I'm waiting for your call. You didn't call me. I told you to call me. I'm not feeling well. Okay. All right. You didn't tell me. Now I'm coming over. No, don't come. Don't come. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not coming from what he has done. It's coming from insecurity. Let me show you now. So the devil will try to make you insecure in the love of God. He will try to shift you, move you. He will continue to bombard you and accuse you. We settled God's part. I settled God's part just now. Now your part. You have to settle your part. Are you here? Thank you, Jesus. But this relationship too is not any different. We are in a relationship with God. Remember what we said concerning our relationship with God. In the relationship with God, come on, man is the beneficiary. But the beneficiary, and so the devil will come to try to spoil that relationship with God because he wants to destroy your life. He wants to hinder your life. Your walk with God is one thing, but your life is secured because of your walk with God. I'm preaching. Your life is working because of that. And the only way he can get to you is to first of all separate you from God. And he cannot separate God from you. He cannot go and tell God things. And God will not say, "Hey, Nasibi, Jennifer, and move." So that won't happen. So he's now on your own side. He will try to make you feel insecure. Make you feel inadequate. So I'm going to say something powerful to you again. When the devil comes to point at your performance, point to him your position. He will come to make you feel this will not work. Go to your position. You'll be pointing position. Let him be pointing performance. I didn't even come here by my performance. I didn't call myself to ministry. I didn't call myself to do what I'm doing. So if you say my performance is not good enough, I know. But my position is that the guy called me and said I should be this. So I am this. So I stand there at my position, not at my performance. My performance will never ever be good enough. In short, if my performance were going to be good enough, he would have called me by my performance. But he knew my performance was not going to be good enough. So he called me by Jesus Christ and gave me the position. Are we here? I'm just going ahead of my notes. So I just flow. I just want to flow with you. I want you to see this. So he will continue to come to you. This insecurity will be there. And so the tendency is for you to separate from God. Not God separate. And God will come to look for you. Like in the Garden of Eden. He will keep coming. I thought we're supposed to meet. He said, "You come." I can't come. Okay, let me go. Don't bother. The guy is there wondering what is happening. Why can I not bless you? I want to bless you. I called you. I know who you are. I knew your family background and all that, but I don't care about that. I just love you. And then just put it away. And relationship scatters. Three bad friends. Because they were not chosen. And because the devil has been cast away from his relationship with God can never be mended. He wants to carry as much as possible, want to spoil it. He wants to spoil this thing. Cast away from heaven. Can't have that relationship with God. And so his goal is to damage your relationship with God. And now that when he's damaged, he now says, The very fact that he's coming to you, brothers and sisters, the very fact that he's coming to you and pushing you and trying to accuse you before God, trying to bring condemnation to your heart, is the very fact you should know that you are on the right path. And never give up that stand, that place. Don't give up that place. Don't give up that work. Many people give up the work and just begin to, I can't come to church today. Why didn't you come to church? Because Pastor Mentis happened. You want to go and get yourself right before you can come to God. It means that your coming to church was powerful before. It was affecting him. He couldn't get to your life easily. He couldn't damage your life easily. He couldn't touch your finances, touch your health. He couldn't do what he wanted to do easily. So he has to, first of all, what do I do? He has to, first of all, pull you away from God by telling you all manner of things, misrepresenting God, making you feel that you are not qualified to be near him. Because when you are near him, proximity with God is your prosperity. Your relationship with God. And it can't spoil God's side, so you keep trying to spoil your own. Spoil it from your side. And then people, somebody now begin to step back, move away. From the one thing I did, from my thoughts, from what I'm thinking, move back, move away. Things now begin to get worse. You now think it's God doing it. Funnily, it is God trying to, God is trying to reach you in all this matter. He's calling you. You know, but why is he not taking a call? The guy like, what did I do? What have I done now? Funnily, you now send a gift. Another gift will now come. Bah. You see? Sending gifts. Because you, now, look at what he has just sent to you. What have you even bought for him? Take it back. You can't accept the gift. Why not accept the gift? Why not accept the blessing? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve somebody like you. Me, Wayne, betrays you. It's terrible. Guilt, condemnations. This begin to set in. I don't deserve someone like you. No, he showed you are the one. He says no. And sometimes you're just trying to heal that hurt. You know something is off. You know all that. But you want to heal it. You want to supply. You want to bring the money. I want to buy the clothes, do the stuff. I want to fix you up. I want to do that. But no. So I want to get a job. If you just enter. This is not relationship talk. I'm trying to preach something. I'm trying to make a point. Are you here? I have to say that because I'm in trouble. So. I'm in trouble now. See, I have to get my, I want to get my career right, get a job, get it this. Why? So that when I enter into a man's house, I should be able to stand for myself. And this, I mean, for kind of Allah. The guy is a billionaire. What do you want to do? Elon Musk right now is $440 billion. He can buy Nigeria, including people inside. You should be aware of that. Sometimes you are not aware of that kind of money. When we talk about money, I see people don't understand money. With the people inside, I didn't say you buy the country and you pack out. You buy the people inside. The whole debt of a whole country is just 7 billion. Somebody has 444. I mean, if they come and start pricing you. What you say? All ladies, go to this place on Monday morning. You don't buy people that will be dead. We just say, okay, as far as at the end of the month, see who pay us last. What concern me? Everybody wear blue. All of you in this street wear white. I mean, I like the country like that. We'll say, yes, sir. You want to now move into his house and be a self-made? Self-made what? The God that called you is perfect and holy. He doesn't need your perfection or your holiness. He has sorted all those parts out when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. So let that matter rest. When the devil comes to you trying to accuse you, make you want to rely on your performance, you're not performing enough. Even when you are even doing something, if you're not even on your way at all, he will even leave you. Because at that, you're not able to do anything. Even you know, you'll just be there. But I mean, a believer that's already passionate. Somebody's already passionate, saying, I want to step up in leadership. I want to do this. Before even joining this ministry, I was not even reading the Bible now. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm loving the Lord more. My love for God is increased. I know because my heart is now more tender. I know. I'm not perfect, but my heart is now more tender. Doing that. Then, devil will come. Then you find out that, unlike before, where he leaves you, now you're seeming not free. Now that tenderness. He's not using that thing. Imagine what you did here. Oh, look at what you did there. Oh, look at what you did there. I mean, he begins to spoil everything. He wants to spoil everything. He must not allow you to spoil everything. Come on. Refuse that condemnation. Refuse that your relationship with God is good. You are a work in progress. We'll get there. There are 3 points I want to show to you. I hope I can do that today. Who is he that condemneth? We looked at God, right? It is Christ that died. So he said, God is okay in this matter. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. I mean, he's not just at the right hand of God, he also makes intercession for us right now. He's saying amen. He's saying go. He's saying the intercession is not as if God is praying and say, God, Father, please, please, please. No. The intercession means he's there saying amen to your stand. So when you are going to say amen, I'm supporting, he's supporting you. That's intercession is not what you are thinking. I say, Lord God, bless you, Lord God, please. No, intercession to say, now start crying. Oh God, I know that that's interceding. That's interceding. Kind. What manner of religious teachings? Intercession does not mean that you are doing. It's not you can intercede for somebody on a good thing, for a positive position, not even out of begging, just adding your name to it, just a letter, attend to the bearer, just give you. Intercede that for you. He didn't cry, he didn't say please, anything, just attend to the bearer. He just says amen. He's even right now saying amen to your prayers. So he said, and Paul says he died. That's not enough. He's risen again. Huh? Who is even, you know, when you are using that word, even is even at the right hand of God, also maketh intercession for us. And so that's why we came to say, who is at God's right hand is more important than who is at my right hand. And Jesus is at God's right hand making intercessions for me. Satan is at my right hand accusing me. Who am I follow? I follow Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now put an end to the devil's lies and accusations in our hearts. He wants us to move to perfection, to performance. He wants us to consider what we are doing. We must remember it's not what we did that brought us in. It was what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Are you here? We said Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It's not about me, it's about him. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, maybe start from verse number 5. I think I gave you 6, but let's push to verse number 5. Let's start from verse number 5. Let's start from verse number 1. Can you push to verse number 1? Let's read it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. According as he had chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. He has what? In him. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. That no blame before him. That when we stand before him, he'll be seeing us as holy and without blame before him in his love. Before the foundation of the world. So don't people can twist this scripture. You're telling you, it doesn't make sense now. He chose us before the foundation of the world that when he sees us, when we eventually arrive and stand before him, it will be that we'll be without blame and we'll be holy before him in his love. That's what it says. Go to verse number 3. Go up. Verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual help. You get that? Once you just read that scripture again, you are talking about car and house and money. That's the problem. The church is lost. You can just read the Bible. Look at it. Sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. According. This is it. This is the blessing. Let me miss it there. How do you miss that? This is the place. According as he had chosen us, this is that we are blessed. According as he had chosen us in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Everything entered our hand. Because of our position in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Next verse. I just keep going on. I could just enjoy myself. I don't know. I'm enjoying myself. I don't know if you are enjoying this thing today, but I'm enjoying myself. Having predestined, you know, this is a part where you say you are enjoying your job. This job, I like this job. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children, how? To who? To himself. He did all the work. Blessed, according as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we will stand before him, that one day we will gather, all of us will stand like this before him. He will say, all of them. Pure. He was said, but according to his love. Now, this is his plan. The only way that could happen is having predestined us unto the adoption of children with a special device. Christ Jesus. Not to some angel, not to a place, but to himself. Why? Why did he do it? Because you are fine, you have money, you donated to church and pay tithes. No! According to the good pleasure of his will. That's why you're like him. That's why you're doing. And you're doing. That's why you're doing. Why? That's why you're doing. You know, he won't answer to anybody. That's why he's going. Don't answer to anybody. He won't answer. You ask that question, you say, that's why I want to do. What do you want to do? Simple. How come you come to my house and say, why I put the television here? No, my house. That's what I'm doing. Concerning you. According to the good pleasure of his will. You see that now? Yes, it's his will. That's why he like her. I don't know why. You say, why? I don't know why he loved me. I don't know why. I don't even want to know why. All I want to do is enjoy the benefits. How about no concern me? How about enjoy the benefits? You know what I say? Why? Why? I mean, really, there was one time, but this lady, Pastor Frank, asked her at that time, when we were on campus, right there, say, okay, thank you, Pastor. But of everybody, why me? That's the question I do. Question hard. Yeah, you know one mighty guy or you want mighty guy? Because this guy is a great guy. Where's why? Opposition knocked both once. Next verse. That's the end of that story. Next verse. Alright. To the praise, you see, according to the good pleasure of his will, eh? To the praise of the glory. So, no, that is issue. We miss it almost here. This Ephesians is wordy. You know, those books, the book of the Bible is very wordy. Where Paul used long sentences. Paul can say something in 3 sentences, you see, just keep stretching the sentence. That's the challenge to Ephesians. So you see, what we are dealing with just now in those verses, they are actually one thought, just stretching them, going on. And he's pointing out powerful, and it's also powerful. But he go to the next verse so that I can connect easily, please. The previous verse. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of what? His grace. Grace. So at the end of the day, when you look at him, you see his will, right? You see his will. You see his good pleasure, what he wants to do. And then you say, wow, he is so gracious. According to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see that now? Himself is so gracious. You will see his grace manifest in your life. You will now say, Lord, you are so gracious. It will not be by to talk and for mouth, but by to demonstrate. We are the demonstration of his graciousness. Come on. Wherein, this is not the part I love, this is where I wanted us to get to. Wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted in the beloved. It's interesting. In studies, this word accepted, let me do this for you before we come back to this verse. This word accepted was only used one place. There is in another one place. This place and one other place. Finish. The New Testament. Paul used this word. I'm not a person that follows words here and there, but it's very powerful that we understand this. And I don't bother to. I don't need to say the Greek. I don't bother about that. But this word he used here is the same word he used in Luke chapter number 1. Flip us there quickly. I would have loved us to do scriptures, but Luke chapter number 1. We'll come back here. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 28. When the angel, and the angel came unto Mary, when the angel came to Mary, I said, Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. The word that we see accepted there is the word here translated highly favored. That's what we see accepted. We see it here as highly favored. In the beloved, it says we are highly favored. It's no longer just favor. You know, when you look at this, why you see the importance, where you can see the connection, and I say, why use this word here and there? You can see the connection in the uniqueness of Mary. All of you that are trying to be Virgin Mary, in being accepted in the beloved, you have entered the same grace as Virgin Mary. Revelation is stiff. It's the same grace. I'm going to say, Mary is just so, if I can help you, Mary. You are Mary. You just need to know that. That highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are thou among all women. You see that blessing? Say, we are all be blessed in spiritual places. That's what you are saying there. Are blessed. Highly favored. Say, we have been accepted in the beloved. It encompasses being chosen by favor. So you can almost, you will see to the praise of the glory of his grace, you will see favor inside the same place. Right? We could be singing favor. He surrounds me as a sheep. I mean, if you get revelation, people will be saying the same thing, but they'll be saying it from two different dimensions. We are highly favored. This is the same thing there. The same spirit. The same way you see one in right now we're 8 billion people. The world from a study somebody did this some time ago. I just reading somewhere. The world from inception to now, we're looking at about 20 something billion people in the world. 20 something billion people from inception to now. 20 something billion people. And you look at Mary. Come on, that's something. 20 something billion people. One lady. True and true. Now, that same one in forever favor is the same thing that is in your life. That is why there's no cheating. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. The same thing that is in your life. The same thing. We're enjoying the same highly favored thing. So if you look at Mary and say, "Car, only one person in this whole life, forever and ever, this generation, this aeons, and the one to come, only one person will ever have that thing." Right? You see that? That is the same way you are. Highly favored. So, I mean, you're not just walking like on the streets like every other person. People cannot just come and throw things about you and just say you are nothing. When you are that highly favored, that's the connection between that thing and that. Only those two places you see this word, that word, that Greek word there. It's about chiteria or something like that. Only two places. You see that? He said, we have been accepted in the beloved. I've been accepted. That's my position. He chose me. He chose me. He didn't make a mistake. Are you here? He didn't make a mistake. I've been accepted in the beloved. So therefore, I am beloved. He loves me. Because he begins to say, he wants to make you feel you are not loved by God because you are not performing well. But it's not about your performance. It's about what Jesus did and how he has accepted you. So you have already been accepted. It will only now take that fear, that accusation of the devil, for you to pack your things from the house in the night when everybody is sleeping and you run away from the house. The man wakes up, says, "Where is that boy I adopted? I want to show my love." He say, "Oh, guy, don't run." I say, "How many times this boy go run? Why does the boy run?" Come on, we watch enough movies to tell us. He runs away because he feels that this thing is too good. I don't deserve it. You don't know my past. In fact, yesterday, you didn't even know that wall painting, I was the one that destroyed it. So, I mean, I'm not talking about past parting before I came to your house. I mean, even in your house. Now, when you saw the painting, you say, who broke this painting? Everybody said, no, don't I broke that. I was there, and I knew I was going to have broken. And so, I felt so bad, and that's why I ran away. One scenario. Scenario number two. I broke the painting. Ah, this painting is so valuable. You broke the painting. You have to be careful when you do something like that. Don't do that, right? And then, all right, let's go. He still goes back to the room. The guy that bought the painting, the owner of the house, he knows this. He didn't say, because of this, leave my house. You cannot stay here. That's why. So he didn't know this. But the accuser will still come and say, you see the way they forgave that painting. So how many times is it going to keep forgiving you? You still be spoiling things. The boy in the night, when the man is planning that would drop, take him to his new school in the morning, in the night, he'll pack his bag. Only him would tiptoe out of the house, pass back door, pull one rope down, and escape. Oga will enter motor again, send driver, send everybody, will start looking for him again. They'll send pastor here to come and be preaching to you again that Jesus loves you. How many times you don't run come up for us? So by this message, stop to the run come up for us. Stop. We know who they find you every time. Say, we're tired. We know tire, sha. We know tire. Guy, you're tired. We try. We know tire. He gives us grace to find you. Even me, sometimes I'm like, guy, you, no, me don't do this all over. But when I see they find the person, see they pray, I'm like, God, you now grace be this. God, read me, only me. Not be wrong. On your own, not seeing. If I will see you, I don't see, I don't know you. But read me, I'll see the prayer. I know it's not grace. He gives us grace. We'll continue. But it is easier and better that you don't spend 5 days outside. Those days are wasted. Every day you stay without God is a waste. Guess what? You will still end up back in Him. So don't waste those days. You will not pray for 2 days. You will miss service for 1 week, 2 weeks. You don't miss church. Why? You miss all the service. You miss all the teachings. Miss all the power that God is bringing your way. All the blessings I want to give you. Then guess what? You will not be in church after the next 3 weeks. It's a waste of time. You just missed a lot. And the devil is happy. It's happy that you missed all those things. The way you still come again, you still plan for you to still run again. You just make up your mind that there will be no accusation. Nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Who can point a finger when He has accepted you? That's why we love this world anyway. Wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. So I'm accepted. Come on. The way I try to break this thing down to try to help you is when somebody says, we are accepted in the beloved. You take note of the word. Scripture is powerful. I enjoy it. That's why I said I love my job. When it says you have been accepted in the beloved, take note. All right, let me help you see that point. If you're in Nigeria, we now say that you are a Nigerian, right? So, if you travel abroad and you nationalize, let's take United States. When you nationalize, you now become an American. When you do nationalize, means the country accepts you. They accept you. When I say this person now is now being accepted in our country, not just to come and stay like say they come, but he's now being accepted. We now give him citizenship. He now becomes an American. All right. So if we have been accepted in the beloved, then what are we? We are beloved. Come on. Do you understand that? So he uses the beloved. Let's use the beloved as the place. So wonder why he chose to be accepted in the beloved, not like to be accepted in heaven. Just think. He said, he could say, wherein you are made us accepted in heaven. But he said, we have been accepted. He gives us the place. He calls the place the beloved. So therefore, it means that if I've been accepted in the beloved, I now become beloved of God. So I can say it from many verses and from this one right now to say, I am the beloved of God. Oh. Why? Because I've been accepted in the beloved. But are you getting this? I just need to know you're getting this. I mean, this is the meat of the matter. We've been accepted in the beloved. It means now that we are beloved. We're not trying to be beloved. You're no longer trying. You've been accepted. Once, let me tell you something. Once you are trying, there's a burden of relations. You know why people say this Christianity they had? It's this thing I'm talking about. I'm working my best to get you to see this light. The relationship becomes difficult. I had relationship because of when the one of the party is trying to qualify. That trying makes the person extra careful, not free, uncomfortable around the other person because he's trying. The trying, it becomes a burden. And when the devil wants you to be trying, when he pushes you to the point where you are now constantly trying, trying by your character, trying by your dressing, trying by your speech, you are now trying. I'm not saying we should not be working towards making progress in our relationship with God. I'm saying when we are now trying to maintain a position that has been given to us, there's something now enters into the relationship. It now becomes a burden. You know, as you say, I'd rather be free. Because in my trying is too difficult for my mind. It's too heavy for me. The devil wants to introduce that burden into your relationship with God. Relationship with God that is supposed to be free and for you to enjoy, go in and out, now becomes a burden. So reading Bible now becomes a burden. I'm trying to preach. I thought I was exhausted this week, but I don't think I can. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Prayer now is not a burden. I mean, and the way they cast it now, like you pray 30 minutes, you pray 1 hour, you pray 2 hours. So prayer, to go and pray, you felt about thing how long. When you even finish, you don't finish with joy and peace. You finish with, you could have even done more. Prayer is a burden. So the question, what affects relationship now is that, if I'm not in this relationship at all, I'll be doing what I like. But now, the burden is now too much. Somebody say Christianity is hard. Because you've accepted a burden. But we have been made free in Christ Jesus. Liberty. There's no law. There's nothing against you. Nothing to hold you down. What you should do now is to come to the scripture. Instead of coming to it as a matter of burden, you are coming to it as a matter of love. So I'm reading my Bible. I'm able to read to this point. I say, Father, I thank you, and I go. I said, you would have done more, and I'm getting that thing, that paralyzing guilt. We'll look at that in some more. Paralyzing guilt, and you're not paralyzing guilt, and you're not feeling that Bible. And so when you want to pick the Bible next, I say, you, when you just read, nobody wants to read. In short, you just carry this Bible now. I can bet last week, you don't even read the Bible at all. What happens? Instead of reading, encouraging you to read, the burden comes, and you cover the Bible and walk away. Burden now destroys the relationship. The relationship is now more of a burden relationship than a loving relationship. That is why it says we have been accepted in the beloved. I'm beloved of God. Right? So don't let the devil accuse you. I told you last week, I said, you might think that there's a point where the accusation stops. But you should know, the accusation never stops. Never. You continue to be in that place. So if you don't learn this thing about the devil, your walk with God will be greatly hindered. Greatly hindered. You're not able to make progress. You don't have courage to go forward. When there's no joy, then there's no strength. You're constantly depressed because, not because you do bad thing now, because you don't do good thing enough. Did you get that?
Yes,
sir. The problem now is not you are a bad person. The problem is that you didn't read enough chapters of the Bible. All manner of problems. I will stay there. Because that's the crux of the matter. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Because I'm trying to tell you that the devil doesn't accuse you only when you sin. You have to know that. Just know that. I mean, I don't think I can say it any better. He doesn't only accuse you when you sin. I mean, you have not now sinned. There's still accusation for you. It is not that you have not done the good you did enough. So I didn't read the Bible enough. I didn't do bad though. I'm a pastor preaching. The Bible I read is not enough. I didn't pray enough. The way you just spoke to that boy, just spoke anyhow, you didn't talk well. Is that how a pastor should speak to somebody? If you, even if they do this, you have to try and correct. You just start, hey, let me tell you, pastor, this, don't do this thing. This thing, you are destroying this world. You have to focus on this. How you just talk like that? You see? A real pastor, as in, I'm even doing pastoral duty. There's still the attack. Amen?
Amen.
So maybe we can say, I think I'm speaking to you right now. I'm seeing when you talk about false omission and then commission. Right? So, I'm coming to say something like, when you do something wrong, sin, as the case is, he will come to you. The Spirit of God will come to you. We'll go into that direction properly next week, probably. Now, you do something right. He's now saying the measure of right is still not enough. That's what I'm dealing with. So you must just know, you are not here by your performance. You are not here by what, how much good you did before. You were only accepted in the beloved. Highly favored. Of all the people on planet Earth ever existed, he chose you to be his son. You are highly favored. This thing I'm experiencing in this relationship with God, this blessing that I'm expecting and this demand I'm laying upon heaven to help me have this thing in my life is not because of my performance. It's because I have been accepted in the beloved. Can you stand on that ground? To really help you. Amen?
Amen.
I've been accepted in the beloved. It is Christ that died. That Jesus Christ died for me. God justifies me. The person who reached out to me is perfect. If in his perfection he says, I am this and I am that, then that's okay. Amen?
Amen.
That's okay. I'll take his word for it. There's no need to run away from the house. There's no need to leave him and start to run away. No need to carry a burden or guilt. It destroys your relationship. You see that all this is not coming from him. It's not coming from his side. It's coming from your side. And then he wants to reach out to you and bless you. But he cannot. Because you're not available to bless. Amen. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 1 again. Can we start from verse number 1? Read through it again and enjoy that verse. Enjoy that verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says there are the saints at Ephesus, they are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he had chosen us in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world. How? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In his eyes, oh, in his eyes. Not in our eyes. Not in Satan's eyes. Before him, in his eyes, in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? According to the good pleasure of his will. Next verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. You see that now? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. Colossians chapter number 1. Thank you, Jesus. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
You've gone home, say amen. Alright, we're all here. Colossians chapter number 1. I told you already, when the devil points to your performance, do well to point to your position. Right? Giving thanks unto the Father. Right? Which had made us meet, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see now, he qualified us. You are not qualified. Why? You not pray 11 hours. You have somebody that prays 11 hours. And so therefore, you know you are not qualified. Come on. What qualified you to enter the house before? We are missing Jesus Christ. You are missing Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of the duration of my prayer. Now, I have prayed 4 hours. So therefore, Now, in the name of Jesus, I declare. I pray 8 hours, I declare. Lord, there's these things I need and in my life because I've read my Bible for finish the Bible, New Testament in 1 week. Come on. When a devil tries to point to your performance, point to your position. Point to Christ and what he has done. Point to God and his perfection. Are you hearing me? He's perfect and he chose me. In fact, long and short, monkey no fine. Eh? Imam Malaka. You can say it literally. Literally. Literally, if you want. If it will help you. Because the accusations sometimes are so bad. You don't have peace to go in your relationship with God. Give me thanks unto the Father which had made us meet, that qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We didn't qualify ourselves, he qualified us. Why am I now trying to qualify myself for any other thing? What is now the thing that you bring against God's elect? Come on. Any charge, like the Bible says. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? Anyone. Because the highest qualification, the biggest work was done when he brought me into the house. Do you understand that? The biggest work was done there. So, all I am doing now is not to be accepted. I have already been accepted in the beloved. I am only studying. Come on. I am not studying to gain admission into the school. They have accepted me. They give me admission. I am studying to advance in the course of which I have chosen. Not for acceptance. There is a difference. There is a difference. We must move. So once we have been accepted, we must stop trying. We must stop and don't carry that burden the devil wants to carry. Because once you carry that burden, you leave the relationship. Nobody will sustain a relationship with insecurity and burden. Insecurity, I don't feel I'm good enough. No relationship will work. You are trying to build a relationship with somebody, but it feels it's not good enough. Insecure. If it's insecure, what do you do? There's nothing you really can do. You can, funnily, the more you now show love, and the more you input love, and the more you bless, the more the person moves away. We've been there. I know what I'm talking. You can't do anything. You are done. Unless the person cures that insecurity and says, this person loves me for who I am. He chose me. He saw all the girls and chose me. So he reached like that. Before your mind begins to race, I would have done this. If I had done this, maybe you would love me. I need to do this. So let me try and do this. Don't try. The body accepted you. Just take it. Or the body now comes. You now begin to try in the body. It's a false relationship. If this God is perfect, I want to leave you. But just so powerful. I trust you got something today. If this God is perfect, everything he does is perfect, then in choosing me, he's also perfect. There's no error there. If Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, rose up again, and right now is interceding for me, I'm beloved. I'm highly favored. If he accepted me, made me qualified by Christ Jesus to come and be partaking of what? What am I partaking of what again? Inheritance of say, means when they are taking one to give me two, I can go and take. When they are declaring and receiving, me too, I can declare and receive. He made me qualified to partake of it. I can go and partake. You will not stand and say, if you are not worthy, you are not worthy. I worthy. He made me worthy. He accepted me in the beloved. I am beloved. Don't let the devil bring any accusation against you. Anything he's saying in your heart, maybe even right now, he's still saying, no, you don't understand. You know yourself. The pastor does not know you. There's nothing too much. There's nothing that God does not know before he chose you. Running away from the house is a slap on his face. It's to say that he didn't know you. He didn't know what you are capable of before he chose you. But remember, he's not just perfect. He knows all things. He sees all things. If the person who knows all things and sees all things and the perfect God chose you, you can't spoil it. I say you can't spoil it. And in this teaching, in this word, is courage. To continue to come, to continue to serve God, to continue to be near him, even when you are not qualified. And you see, so you say, what is that how you walk, how your walk with God is? Yes, that's how my walk is. The courage to continue to serve and to be who I am today and to teach and to be a blessing and to grow and to train believers and to teach them to be strong in the Lord. It's not coming from my perfection. It's coming from His love for me. It's coming because I know these things. I know this love. That is my work. Now receive the same courage to walk with God. My work with God is not happening because I read Bible more than you. No. You say, I'm standing here because it's obvious that amongst all of us, you read Bible more than us, you pray more than us. So that's why God. No, that's not true. He chose me to do this job. He graced me to do it. He called me to do it. And I'm doing it. And the courage to continue doing, not running away. I've not run since. Who am I to pastor people? And me. Me. Let him not start to show anything on my screen. No, no, the hacker. If hacker can hack this screen, I mean God can hack it too. If you just try to hack it, I'll pull the cord. You'll still be showing without cord. I'll cut out the television. Can you show it without television too? I'm telling you, it's that bad. We are laughing. But I'm not standing here because of my personality and what I have done. It is by the grace of God. It is to the praise of the glory of God. The glory of His praise, rather. Of His grace. That we will stand and say, we are all we are by the grace of God. I have all I have right now in my life by the grace of God. It's not by my hours of prayer. Am I desirous to pray more, to know Him more, to read more scriptures? Yes! But it's not because of that He blesses me. He blesses me because He has accepted me in the beloved. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you say, Lord, I'm in Your house by Your grace. I am all I am by Your grace. I was saved by grace. I was saved by grace through faith. It is not of my works. It is the gift of God. I was called highly favored. Accepted, highly favored of God. I want to talk to God this morning and say, Father, I am who I am. I am all I am by Your grace. And I receive abundance into my life by Your grace. I partake of the inheritance of the saints by Your grace. Not by my performance. Not by my performance. Satan, get lost. I'll be chosen by God. I'll be chosen by God. I'll be chosen by God. Why did He choose me? According to the good pleasure of His will. He wanted to choose me like that. I know good reach. I know read Bible reach. I know pray reach. I know holy fast. But God loved me and chose me. I'm released to continue serving God. I'm released to continue reading the Bible. I'm released to continue loving God because of His love. I'm released to continue loving Him because of His love. It is His love that is my motivation. It is His love and His freedom in Him that motivates me to continue to serve Him. It is His love that motivates me to continue to serve Him. I'm not motivated by guilt or punishment. I'm motivated by His love. Shatali brokosele baha. So I will continue. I will continue on this race. I will continue to read. I will continue to make progress a step at a time. I'll continue to go forward in my walk with Him. Because I am all I am by His grace. I came into the house by grace. You know, read Bible, reach. You can't read Bible before you got saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, la boko se to le mori se le maha. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. I want us to continue to pray, but before we continue to pray, I want to be a total thing, a total everybody prayer. I want you, if you're here, you're not saved. You've not even entered the house. Because you are looking at what you do, how you do, and you have been trying to do. And then you're trying to do will not work. It didn't work for anybody. Before we start to say it's not what you do, and all that, you must know that it's not what you do. And you must enter into Christ because of what He has done for you. So if you are not saved, This will be a golden opportunity. So we can pray, because we're still going to pray. I'm not done with this service. Want to relax. Want the burden to go away. All this burden in your shoulder. I'm not reading the Bible. No, I'm not reading. I want to cast all those aside and begin to love. Go forward in love. I'm going to read the Bible. Not out of guilt. I'm going to read my Bible out of love. I'm going to read 2 chapters. I'm going to read 4. I'm going to go on to read 5. Because he loves me. And because I've been accepted. But before we get there, if you are not saved, you need to first of all open up your heart to Jesus and say, I cannot qualify for the love of God by myself. I've been trying. I cannot. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. He died for my sins, rose up again for my justification. So if you are here and you are not saved, I want you to raise your right hand. I want to pray with you. I want us to pray. We're going to pray together. So let's get everybody on the same boat first. If you are not saved, I'm not giving my life to Jesus Christ. I'm trying, though. In fact, even church is to be trying. If I'm coming, maybe he will not like me. If you are not saved and you want to be saved and stop all those trying, all those bodies, I want you to raise your right hand so that I can know so that we are all in the same place here. If you are not saved, so everybody here is saved. If you are not saved, you have this opportunity. Don't play with it, oh. Because if you are trying, you are carrying a burden. A burden that nobody is carrying. Me, I'm not carrying that burden, no. I've been accepted in the beloved. I can partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Because he made me qualified. So everybody here is saved. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, brothers and sisters, hear this. I sin, he attacks me. I do not sin, he's still accusing me. He's accusing me because I did not try enough. Because I did not read the Bible enough. I did not give enough. I did not pray enough. He's accusing me. Those accusations, if I buy into them, I will not receive the strength to even now do the thing he wants me to do. Actually, it will still be a burden to me. So when I free myself of those accusations and say he loves me, I'm actually free to actually now continue to do this thing in love. That's how you continue. Someone wants to pray. Say, Father, I thank you for your love. I'm not here by my performance. I did not come in by my performance. So even when I'm reading, I don't read my Bible. You're talking to God, really. I'm not reading my Bible because I want you to love me. I know you love me. I'm not praying because I feel that the longer I pray, the better for me. No, you are willing to bless me in abundance. I know that. Father, I refuse accusation of the devil. I refuse insecurities and burden. I thank you because I've been accepted in the beloved. I give you praise today in my life because you've been accepted me. Not by my performance. Not by how many times I come to church. Not by how much I give. It's not by I pay this, I give this in church. It's not by whether I'm a worker in church. I'm not trying to be a worker in church so that you can love me. Father, I know you love me. Today I'm standing upon your love. Come on, church, pray. Today I'm standing upon your love. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm standing upon your love. And I grow in your love. I grow in your favor. I grow in your favor. I grow in your love. I'm motivated in my work, not out of fear but out of love. I'm motivated not from fear but from love. I'm no longer afraid. Come on. I'm no longer afraid. If you don't do this, he will cast you out. If you don't do that, he will cast you out. No, he will not cast me out. He loves me. I will do it because he loves me. I will do it out of love. Salepokos elemahayas. Shoto brekele sondesh. Rabakalabaya sondehe. Galamahaya namahandos. I don't read my Bible out of fear. I don't pray out of fear. I pray out of love. I pray out of love. I don't come to church out of fear. I come to church out of love. Kasole boshete le maha. Reto brokosida la mamaha eso. Loma na kasaha. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Your love is the foundation of my life. Your love is the foundation of my life. Your love is the foundation for my life. Oh salamaha. Shekoseri no Mohose. Kalabose. Hallelujah. I'm still here. What about healing for your body? Why would you be healed? Why would you be healed? Because you are able to pray long. Or healing for your body. Devil say, the reason why you are not healed is because of this. Because you don't read your Bible now. Let me say, when you read your Bible, you'll be healed. No, your healing does not come from reading your Bible. Your healing does not come from church attendance. Your healing does not come from being a keyboardist, drummer, or working in church. That's not where your healing comes from. Your healing comes from His love. Because He loves you. His grace is out of grace, from His grace. If you don't get this thing right, you continue to labor for things that He has given to you, and you will never attain. Maybe you start reading four chapters of the Bible every day. Then we say it's supposed to be five. Once you start reading five, you will get there. When you get to five, you say, no, there are people that read 7 or 8. Alas, there are people that read their Bible on their knees. It's not story. A man of God will share with you how he reads his Bible on his knees 6 hours every day. It paralyzes your own Bible reading. Then will now say, you see, Pastor Chris read Bible 6 hours every day on his knees. And you don't even read the Bible sitting down his eyes. Forget it. How can you not even? It's accusing you not from sin, but from that you read your Bible sitting down. You can't go anywhere. That burden will hinder you. Today is the day we cast it down. Today is the day we say no. No. We are who we are by the grace of God. I'm going to receive from God grace. I refuse any burden. Good burden. Even a good burden is a burden. I said even a good burden is a burden. And a burden is destructive. It will help you. Wherever you are right now, you are here, you've joined us online, I want you to pray today. Every accusation, every lie that the devil has lied to make you feel unqualified, disqualified, unaccepted, today, you are cast it out. I'm growing in my love, in my walk with God. I'm not doing anything out of fear. I'm going near Him out of love, not out of fear. I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm attending, I'm doing all these things I do. I'm giving out of love, not out of fear. Not out of fear. The Bible says perfect love cast out fear. Today is the day of perfect love. I said today is the day of perfect love. Today you know that God loves you perfectly. God loves you perfectly. You've been accepted in the beloved. This is the meeting. This is the service where you go back home with miracles and power. This is the service you go back home with all the things you've ever asked for. Thank you, Father. Oh, Shalemoko Sikteri Makalabaha. I'm not building my life on fear. I'm building my life from love. I'm reading, I'm giving, I'm loving God out of love, not out of fear. I'm not afraid. I've been accepted in the beloved.
Faradalabadele Kabadola Masasafadida. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, say, I'm the beloved. I'm the beloved of God.